God, we thank you, Lord, again for the privilege, the opportunity, and the honor of preaching and teaching your word. Thank you, Father, for your word. Help us now as we look into it to receive according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 103.5. Sounds like your temperature after a counseling session. 103.5 and climbing. 103.5 says, Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, for us to understand exactly what we're talking about here, we're talking revival. Now, I've been to a lot of churches, and I know some of you have too, and every now and then they have a revival. And they run pretty much the same. The last one I remember was a church up on the hill with beautiful buildings. And they decided to put us outside in the parking lot in the tent with straw on the pavement there. And I thought, carpeting in there and all that air conditioning, I'm out here as mosquito bait. But that was a revival. And they tried to revive me, or us, if I remember correctly, by telling us about the Night Stalker in Los Angeles, yeah. And how if you don't get saved and go get some people saved, this guy's going to kill everybody and send them to hell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That did nothing to revive me. Nothing to do with renewal. I remember once where they said revival was whoever brings in the most visitors gets 1,000 pounds of bacon. Maybe not 1,000, but it was a lot of bacon or ham, something that'll kill you, some kind of poison. So revival evidently is not bringing in people. Could it be that it means to revive the ones that are already there? Could it mean that the reason the Lord sends renewal or revival is because you're all asleep? This is your wake-up call again. Now, if you remember, the Lord said, I want to renew your youth. He wants you as little children again, not to be a little child, but as little children. We talked this morning about youth, meaning the psychological, the physiological, and the chronological. Revival basically means to try to get you to start thinking, to try to reason with you, that there has to be a reason why you're so dumb. There has to be a reason why everything you touch turns to doo-doo. Now, I'm not saying that you know the reason yet. I'm just saying there has to be a reason. You already know that your life is one big diaper in which your task is to change as many times as you can without changing. See, it's easier to change the child than to change the diaper, isn't it? Diapers are basically inanimate objects that you can't reason with. So somewhere along the line, you come to grips with the fact, I better change this child, or I'll be washing these diapers or buying diapers for the rest of my life. Which at some time, for some of you, would have become bed sheets. Tapestries. Big suckers, in other words. So the first thing that needed to happen is we needed to start thinking. The psychological, we had to start reasoning with one another and reasoning with the Lord, because that's the only way that he'll deal with you. And then there was the physiological, that inevitable time when you have to start changing the physiology of your being and stop reacting to everything physiologically. A problem comes up. Use your brain, not your kidneys. Now, every time a problem comes up and you get PO'd, you've used your kidneys. And in reality, you have done exactly that. You overactivate internal organs, and you are reacting to outside stimuli, not psychologically, but physiologically. That's why when you get mad, your adrenal glands start secreting adrenaline and give you this burst of energy that you're too cowardly to do anything physically, so the only thing you can do is scream and rant and rave. But what's happened is you have had a physiological response rather than a psychological. Now, there is a place for the physiological, but it isn't to replace the psychological. And neither one of those will work, if you remember from this morning, without the chronological. Now, we need to talk about the chronology just a little bit more, because that means to arrange things in their proper order, in their order of occurrence, to relate to events in the order of their occurrence. See, you were already mad because you were already wrong when someone did something that you use as an excuse to get mad. You were already mad. So the order of the events is not in the proper chronological order. So before you ever start, you start out lying to yourself, trying to lie to me, and trying to lie to God. When the fact of the matter is, you've been responding physiologically all of your life, with notable exceptions from your very, very earliest youth. You switch from being mental to being emotional. And now your chronology is all messed up. Now you cannot see things as they really are. You pick things up where you wish they were. You almost never see the problem at your level. The problem could be at your boss's level if you've got another job lined up. But if you still need him or her, they're right. The same is true of your wife. As soon as you get sick and tired of her, she's a perfect scapegoat. Or during the time when you still value her highly, you will not see the obvious. It amazes me that a shepherd who is leading his sheep finds the sheep up to their eyeballs in trouble and doesn't realize he must have led them there. Cannot or will not see their own role in the leading of the sheep. Then we go to the secondary leadership, and certainly the wife cannot see. It's not her fault the child's acting that way. Well, then it's not the husband's fault either. Then pray tell, whose fault is it? We don't know. The chronology is all backwards. You didn't understand that to put things in their proper sequence, the one who initiated, the originator, the founder, the father had to originate. The next in the line of command is the mother, the one who fed what the father originated. Now, what the father originated, what the mother fed, is the one that's acting up. Now, what's so hard about that? The thing that's hard about it is the chronology sticks in your craw. Because you don't want to be the founder and inventor, Dad. And Mom, you certainly don't want to be the one that fed that. But yet you cannot deny that there it is. Somebody did it, and somebody's feeding it.
That's right.
Who could it be? Well, we don't know. Well, I'm here to tell you I know. And I have no problem telling you so, that I know. You cannot start dealing with your children at their level. You'll kill them psychologically. You'll give them a situation that they cannot resolve in any way, shape, or form. You're holding them responsible for being the originator, the one who fed it, and now the one who perpetrated it. Now, you know what you've done for your child at that state in their life? You have said to them, you're the father, you're the mother, and you're the child. You started it, you fed it, you did it. Well, now the child takes that to its next level, and when it comes time to make a decision, and you say, go to bed, they say, no, you said, I'm the father. Close your eyes. No. You said I'm the mother. So if I'm the father and the mother and the perpetrator, then I have a right to it, not just the responsibility. And I'm telling you, you cannot take away the right of your children to be the father and the mother as long as you refuse to be the father and the mother, because somebody has to be the father and somebody has to be the mother. Someone has to originate, someone has to feed, and someone has to perpetrate. Those are the three necessities in any family relationship. The church, not excluded, by the way. So you see, the chronology is where you want to throw everything out the window. You think you're psychological. You think you're even physiologically oriented because you eat right now and you exercise. And I'm not taking that away from you. That's two necessary things. Let's think, let's eat right, and let's exercise. But let's not throw the chronology out the window, because you're still incomplete. We still have to deal with things in the order of their occurrence. We still have to go back and find out why you are that way. Why do you have problems being the father? Because your father had problems being the father. He was either absent physically and or mentally or both. And then mom never took any blame for starting anything, but she fed everything. Now, she would tell you how much she hated your dad and how wrong she was. But every night she went in that room with him, and they came back with a silly grin on their face, didn't they? Well, if he was so horrible for you, how come she had no problem when he brought the check home? See, mixed signals. And then if men are so horrible, how come after she got rid of that one, there was a succession of men coming through her life who incidentally only benefited her and did nothing but give you a hard time? See, mom, you're not playing straight. You didn't have a full deck then, and you don't have one now. I'm trying to put the rest of the cards on the table. I'm trying to tell you how it was so that you can understand how it is. Men, you cannot downgrade your wife in front of the children. Treat her like she's nothing. And then when your own appetites, when you want dinner, when you want your clothes, or you want something else that we can't talk about here, all of a sudden, she becomes the answer to all your problems. She becomes the bone of your bone and the flesh of your flesh. Well, it sounds to me like her chronology stinks. Because if she wasn't good in the first instance, why is she so good now? What signals are you sending to your children? Only obey her when she's doing something, or reverence her when she's doing something to benefit you. All other times, tell her, yo mama. And that's what the kids do. And then you come home a sanctimonious, pious individual and say, how come they don't do that for me, woman? I'm telling you why they don't do that to you. Because they have watched how you do to her. So they do the same thing. So you see, in the final analysis, if we don't keep the psychology the physiology and the chronology straight, you're not going to end up living the way God wants you to be, and your youth cannot be renewed. You cannot do what the prerequisite that God wants you to do. And why is it important that your youth is renewed? Go to Matthew 18. I'm going to tell you why your life is the way that it is. And you can pray and ask Jesus until you're purple, and it's not going to change until your youth is renewed. Matthew 18:1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now understand this. Came to the disciples, which means they're already saved. This isn't a question now of who's going to get saved and who's going to get to go to heaven. He said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" So that means that all disciples are in heaven, aren't they? Aren't we? But some of you don't live like if you're in heaven. So Jesus, recognizing the mentality of the disciples, as I do, gave them an example. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted," converted is another way of being saved, "and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." So what is Jesus saying here? Two things that need to be done. One, you need to be converted, which everyone has been in this room, to my knowledge, and become as little children. So you see, if you're converted only, you have to wait till you die to get to heaven. Now, when you get to heaven, you're going to become as a little child, believe me. Wouldn't it be smarter to do it now? So he said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Talking to his disciples. Now, how could Jesus promise salvation in heaven after death to all of his and then say, "Unless you do something now, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven"? He obviously was not talking about that heaven, because there, everyone's going to be as a little child. So he said to his disciples, you got to become as little children. Children comes from a Greek word that means an infant, an immature Christian. Immature means not completely developed, not perfected, and incomplete. But we're talking about a Christian here. We're talking about a Christian who knows he's not completely developed. We're talking about a Christian who realizes that the reason we have church, the reason we have sermons, and the reason we have counseling is you're not completely developed. You're not perfected. You're not complete. In other words, unless you stop becoming a know-it-all, you're not going to get into heaven. Now, he said, unless you become as little children. He didn't say unless you become childish. Now, your history is, whenever things didn't go your way, either your parents send you away or you withdrew. That's right. And you're still doing that. And he says, for those of you that continue to do that, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Heaven, if you remember, in the Greek meant happiness, power, and eternity, or where God lives. Heaven is the abode of God, the gospel. So where does God live? In happiness, in power, and eternity. In other words, God is happy. God is powerful, and God is forever happy and powerful. Now, if you lived with God in heaven, you would be happy, you would be powerful all the time. See, that's what heaven means, to have eternal power and happiness. That means you can be just as happy when the alarm goes off in the morning as when it's time to go to bed at night, and everything in between. But if you can't do that, you haven't entered the kingdom of heaven. Now, that doesn't mean, please do not misunderstand, in those areas where you have decided, I don't know and I need help, every one of you have changed. In those areas where you're still wearing your flowing robes, you haven't changed one iota. And some of you, sad to say, make superficial changes, and when it comes right down to it, you dig in your heels and act like a little baby again. So as a result, you don't have happiness, power, or eternity. Now, let me prove to you, and you'll make the decision. If your youth is renewed, have you become as little children? If you have, you will have happiness. You will enter the kingdom of God because that's what Jesus said. Happiness means favored by circumstances. Not favorable circumstances, favored by your circumstances, which means it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, they must favor me. Now that's a promise from God. So I don't have to worry what the circumstances are. That is not my concern. The only thing I know is whatever the circumstances are, they have to favor me, or Jesus wouldn't be telling the truth, and it's impossible for God to lie, and Jesus is God. So circumstances must favor me. They have no choice. They have to favor me because Jesus said they have to favor me, and after all, He's God. But to you, your circumstances are more powerful than you and God. Because if the circumstances don't look favorable, you go right into the toilet. Happiness also means great pleasure, contentment, and joy. Glad and pleased and appropriate. In other words, it doesn't matter what happens, you're content. It doesn't matter who's ranting and raving, you still have joy. It doesn't matter what went right, wrong, or indifferent, you're still glad. You're still pleased, and you're still appropriate. So it doesn't matter if God called me to be a preacher, I can be a preacher to those that love me and those that hate me and every one of you in between. I must always learn to be appropriate. Now, people that are not appropriate just aren't happy. Now, I ask you, is the way you act appropriate? Now, if the answer is a resounding no, then you haven't entered into happiness. And incidentally, he didn't say you don't enter into happiness or heaven because you're a bad boy, or because you sinned, or because you didn't tithe, or because you don't agree with Reuben. He didn't say that. He said simply, you've not become as a little child. You've not come up with that childlike faith to trust God, to trust David, who wrote this, to trust Reuben, who's repeating it. You think that Reuben has more power than God, and I can somehow fashion something that's going to kill you and get away with it. But in the process, everybody's getting better. But you don't know that as soon as you reach the epitome of happiness and wealth, your head's going to explode. That's part of the curse. You just don't trust God. That's why I don't care who comes in here, who leaves, or who doesn't leave. I don't care which one of you likes it or doesn't like it. God brought you here, and I trust Him. God brought you in, and God can take you out. Remember what Cosby said? I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. That's a God-like statement. You realize that? So what does that really say? It says that if you have happiness, it's because you've become as a little child, and all the circumstances then have to favor you, which means nothing robs you of contentment, joy, gladness, pleasure, and you're always appropriate. You always have the right response, the appropriate response. You always have for you what's appropriate to respond. Now, if a waitress comes to me and they need $20 for what I ate, then for me to have the appropriate response, I need $20. Now, you understand that. Well, you see, there are other things that make demands on you. God sends someone to you and says, I want to show them my love. They're going to rant and rave at you and spit in your face and call you everything but your name. Will you show them my love? Hold on to your happiness and be appropriate. And you say to God, Yo mama. All of a sudden you don't want, you want things to be appropriate toward you. But not the other way around. See, heaven is just a title. And I'm not faulting you for not being able to do that. I'm faulting you for not wanting to be able to do that. Now, if you have happiness, if you're as a little child, what follows is power. Power means to be able. It means to have great ability to do, to act, or affect very strongly others, including yourself. Ability to control others, authority and influence. So you are favored by your circumstances, and you have the ability and the influence to control. Now, what and who does God want you to control? There you go. Self-control. Which you make so many excuses as to why you can't. See, then you start messing with the chronology. Well, Reuben, I was skipping down the forest with a handful of tulips and a basket for Mom. And my prettiest little red dress on, just singing up a storm and praying silently to our mighty Lord Jesus Christ. And out of nowhere came Sister Guacamole or Brother Holiness, it doesn't matter which one. And they said and did these things. And hair started growing on my face. And I was against this hair, Brother Reuben, but it started growing. And fangs and claws. I was against it, Brother Reuben. And then I slashed and tore and ripped and gouged, but I was against it, Brother Reuben. Oh, if I could only record your stories. I would make a fortune reproducing the fairy tales of El Cajon. I've heard some doozies. But you see, I can deal with people like that because they have a semblance of reasoning. All their reason is shot, and you can expose it, but at least they propose some reasoning. Here are the hard people to deal with, what I call the baboons of life. See, everything is a grunt to them. See, You have to kind of decipher what they mean. Because it's the tone of the grunt that's important to the baboon. But you see, a grunt is a grunt is a grunt. And in the army, in the military services, the grunts are the physical people. The ones that don't think. They just give them a rifle and say, go over there and shoot whoever you see. They're called grunts, grunt heads. People who only feel. People who they call on to do nothing but slash and gouge and rip and tear. Called grunts. But you see, the individual who's become as a little child, who's had their youth renewed, who sits down with the Lord Jesus Christ and says, I know it's not what's happening now. Let's deal with, how did I become this way? That's the individual that enters happiness and power and eternity. Eternity means continually without end, which means there's no room for your moods. Because if you have happiness and power and eternity, that means you're always happy and powerful. You can always do it. You're always appropriate, and circumstances always favor you, and you're always peaceful and content and full of joy and appropriate, which leaves you no excuse, none. Eternity also means without beginning or end. But see, you being the Alpha and the Omega are the beginning and the end. You decide when and for who it begins, and when and for who the bell doesn't toll. So you are one individual to your children, to people that you tolerate, and a totally different person to someone else. So you decide the beginning and the end. You tell me how wonderful your life was until someone came and messed it up for you. So there's a beginning to your happiness and an end. And incidentally, the beginning of your happiness was you, and the end of it was somebody else. So you're not in heaven. If someone can make you unhappy, or if someone can make you happy and then make you unhappy, you obviously are not in heaven, because happiness is eternal. It means it doesn't depend on individuals. And if it doesn't depend on individuals, then it doesn't depend on individual actions. And if it doesn't depend on individual actions, then it cannot depend on individual reactions, is where you pick up the ball, your reaction. Well, the fact of the matter is, you're sadly lacking eternity. Eternity means always going on, never stopping, and forever the same. Now, if you received eternal life when you got saved, then how come you don't have this? Now, when you get to heaven, when you die physically and go to heaven, this is the way it's going to be. You think about me when you're up there complaining about your cloud. And you're going to say, my God in heaven, that preacher was right. But that's what it's going to take, evidently, for some of you. You're waiting for Jesus Christ to go against his own word and let you enter into heaven, happiness, power, and eternity, without becoming as a little child. Without having your youth renewed, without going back chronologically and putting things in the right, proper sequence so that you can understand where it started. See, because wrong has a beginning and it has an end. Heaven does not. So if what you're into has a beginning and an end, you obviously are not in heaven. Now, I'm not going to tell you that everything in my personal life is the way it ought to be and the way I want it in terms of circumstances, but I'll tell you something else as honestly as I can. And there's witnesses in here that if I were lying, they would know that I was lying. It do not affect me. It do not affect me. I don't like it. There's some things I want changed, but until they do, those circumstances, as bad as they are, have to favor me. And I'm not going to become inappropriate just because the circumstances are inappropriate. So you see, you got to wear the suit once you fashion it. And I kind of like it myself. I like the freedom from circumstances. I like the freedom from the circumstators. I just made up a new word. I have that right. I'm the one that's talking. If you can make up things in your mind, then why can't I? So you see, I have the right as a little child. Now, what does that mean, as a little child? That means I know that I don't know. That means that I don't have a prayer, a clue, unless it's given to me spoon-fed, Gerber style. He's got it pre-digested for me here, all laid out sequentially, numbered even, 103.5. I mean, that makes it easy to find. And then all you have to do is look at the first letter of each word and go to the concordance, and lo and behold, if you learn 24 letters of the alphabet, you can find that too. My God. And then they put a number at the end. If you can count, then you go to the Hebrew dictionary and find the corresponding number, and there it is. See what a genius I must be? No, as a little child. I know that I don't know, but I've learned my numbers. I know my onesies and my twosies. So you see, I just follow it sequentially, and he takes me like a little child, and I make no pretense about it. I never told you I was wise. I never told you I knew. As a matter of fact, I told you I don't know, but I sure know somebody that does. And he has no problem with giving me what you need. So therefore, I don't even have to find out what you need, because I certainly wouldn't ask you, because you don't know. So what happens then? Happiness, power, all the time. Now what do you have to do to get that? Become as a little child. Know that you don't know. Being willing to make the concession. See, we got to give up some things. Do you realize what you have to give up to have heaven? In order to have happiness, you got to give up unhappiness. Now, why you fight me on this, I do not understand. In order to have power, you must give up weakness. And in order to have it all the time, you got to give up being satisfied with it just on Sunday morning and Sunday night. That's what you fight about. Which I ought to tell you right now, that's enough to tell you, you trust you? What's wrong with you? Now Jesus said, unless you become as little children, unless you allow me to renew on two levels, we got to renew what caused the problem so that you can understand what the problem is. Then we got to tear that all down and build it again. So you see, what it really boils down to, it's tearing down what's wrong with you and analyzing it, bit by bit, piece by piece, rock by rock. Take it apart. And then, see, that's what reconstructing means. It means to put it together from the evidence, from your actions, from the way you talk. Put it together so that we understand, here is the problem. Then we take it apart to see what makes up the problem. Then we put it back together again with new parts. Now, what is so hard about that? I'll explain to you exactly what has to happen. Reconstruction. Remember, renewed, among other things, meant to rebuild. And rebuild means to remodel extensively by taking apart and reconstructing with new parts. But before we reconstruct with new parts, we have to reconstruct with the old parts, because you don't know what the problem is, so we have to reconstruct it. So there has to be reconstruction. Reconstruction, if you remember, meant to build up from the remaining parts or from the evidence of the remaining parts. Now, I have no parts that'll show how your mother and dad treated you. But the evidence that I have is how you treat your wife and how your wife treats you and how both of you treat your children. So we can reconstruct it from that evidence. Reconstruct means a reproduction of something in its original and complete form. In other words, we have to reconstruct it like it was original and complete, so that you'll know this is the problem. Now, once we've put it all together so that you can see it, now we got to take it apart. Because you see, we put it together with all the old parts. Now we have to reconstruct it with new parts. But before we can do that, we have to reconstruct, or we have to reconstruct it with the old parts so that we can analyze it. So we need some old parts. Old means, and remember, we're talking now about you, why you are the way you are, the things that make you, the things, the composites that make the whole of what you are. We first put it together with the old parts. Old means that's that been in existence for a long time. You've been acting this way for a long time. It isn't now that you met this person or that person. It isn't today when you acted this way. That's been in existence for a long time. So you see the chronology we're dealing with now. I understand the problem is there, but it's been there a long time. Way before this person you're blaming or that person. So see, we need something that's been in existence for a long time. And that long time has to be at least as long as you've been in existence, because you are the one that has the problem. So the parts we need have to be here as long as you have been. Old also means made or produced some time ago. So you see, what we're dealing with in this reconstruction is for you to understand that what's bothering you now was produced some time ago. I'm trying to help you with something so that you can understand the love of God. He's willing to put up with your anger, your criticism, and your cynicism in the hope that he can get to you somehow to show you that your problem is what happened a long time ago. The manifestation is what's going on now. So you see, old means that's made or produced some time ago. Old means that's familiar from the past. Familiar, familia, family, familiar spirits. God talks about that. It's your past that's killing your present. That's the chronology of it. See, that's what I'm trying to reconstruct for you by using the old parts so that you can understand the gravity of the problem, but also the chronology of the problem. So that you don't think that by getting a divorce or changing jobs or ignoring this person or that person, that somehow is going to solve your problem. And it isn't, because this has been familiar from the past. Amen. Old also means that is known from the past. Well, if you've known it from the past, then you were taught it in the past, because you cannot know something you haven't been taught. So it had to be taught in the past. That's why it is the way it is. Now, well, how much past? Old means from the earliest stage of development, which means basically the minute you were born, your training started. Now, you were made in the image and likeness of God. Parents, if you just leave them that way and feed what's already there, we'd end up raising some real decent kids. But immediately you start perverting. The earliest stage of development, that's what old means. See, you think old means not being able to do things. It means somehow getting decrepit and lazy and tired and sleepy. No, old means that's from the earliest stage of development. In other words, you started doing that a long time ago. Old also means something that's been in use for a long time. You've been moaning and groaning and complaining and blaming and criticizing and gossiping and making excuses for a long, long time. See, and that's all I'm trying to get across to you, that we must reconstruct it from the old parts first so that we can see it. Then we see it, then we'll tear it down and build it again with new parts. But right now we're on old parts. Old means that's worn out by use. Now, you know how that works. After a while, it gets a little worn. You wear thin by use. After a while, your excuses don't hold any water anymore. After a while, I start realizing you like to be sick. You like to moan and groan and complain. You like to be in poverty. You like not to have enough, because then it gives you and gets you sympathy. But it also gives you the right to be lazy and not help anybody, because you can't, because you don't have anything. So you see, the problem really here is that this is worn out by use. And notice, you can only run that kind of a game on people for so long, and then after a while they say, yeah, okay. How do you feel? Well, sorry to hear that. I gotta go. Yeah. Hope you feel better. You know, pig, you know you're not going to. See, you don't even want to hear it anymore, because that's your national anthem. You start and you want us to stand up and salute your pain and your anxiety and your anger, and quite frankly, I have no allegiance to it. Besides, I've heard that before. It's been worn out by use. Having had long practice, that's what old means. This has been in use for a long, long time. Now understand this. You cannot do anything today just out of some original thought without having seen. There's a lot of things on this earth that you've never seen and you've never heard of, but you can't explain them. They exist. You can't even name them. You can't even visualize them. Why? Because you're not capable of original thought. All you can do is draw on what you've already known. So whatever you do now has to draw on what you've learned before. So when you're acting stupid now, it's because you were trained to act stupid before. And you've had it for a long time. Old means that belongs to the remote past. See what God is trying to tell you here? He's saying, look, we got to go back to the remote past, back to the beginning of this thing. We've got to reconstruct it, not because it has value, so that you can see it. So that you can see the actual reality of why you are. Why do you want to do that? So you can stop blaming everyone around you, including yourself, by the way. Old means it belongs to the remote past, where you live in the present. So why are you dealing with things that belong in the remote past when you're in the present? Conflict and division, that's why. Old mean that's existed for a long time. Old finally means that has existed from some period long before the present. You see, where you make your mistake is you refuse to let the Lord renew your youth. You refuse to go long before the present to look for the problem. Because you see, if you did that, look at us, look around you, and then think of your life and tell yourself honestly, exclusive of children who have no responsibility. How many of us can say, I see people here that were here long before the present in my life, and you'd be lying in your teeth. None of us have known each other for more than 10 years, most of you for less than 5, and some of you for 2 or 3. So how can you possibly blame an individual that you've known that short a period of time for something that happened long before the present? But yet that's what you do. You call me and you tell me your husband is the problem for what he did, or your wife, or your child. And they weren't in existence in your life when all this started. You see, there's no logic to what you're saying. You're working on old parts. Old, old parts. And you see, after you play that record long enough, I can almost, you know, you'll start and you'll say, well, yes, Brother Reuben, you'll start, and I can already mouth the words. I know what you're going to say already. You're going to tell me how much you love the Lord and how much you want to forgive, but how bad they are to you and how you responded, not meaning to, but you're going to get better. You tell me how much you know the Lord has healed you. However, you're not really sick. You're just acting that way. And then here's the one that I like. Oh, I'm not gossiping anymore, Brother Reuben. I was just sharing. Sharing what? Gossip. Yeah. See, we just changed the word, but it's the same old record. See, there was a time when you just called up on the phone and says, I'm going to gossip. Did you hear the latest trash? Well, now you've become sophisticated. Now you say, I'd like to share something with you. But it's the same worn-out methodology that you've always... You're still acting the same. Oh, and now you don't judge people anymore. God forbid that you judge people. Well, all you were doing is sharing the Lord with them. As in, go to hell. I don't know what Lord you're talking about. You want to share the Lord Jesus Christ with a person and turn the other cheek. You want to share the Lord Jesus Christ with a person, then you pay for what's wrong with them. And quit exacting them out of them. Oh, that's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lordy, Lord, I didn't mean that. No, you didn't. I know you didn't. So you see, the first part of renewing your youth is to reconstruct with the old parts. Now, I'm telling you, once we put that sucker together, you're going to see how ugly it is. And then we have to reconstruct it, tear it apart, now that we know what's wrong with it. See, it's not all wrong. Not everything your parents taught you was wrong. Not everything you do is wrong. But you see, the problem is it's good and evil. Your life is good and evil. So all I'm trying to do is tell you this. Put it together, and then let's get rid of all the old parts. And let's rebuild it with new parts. Your new born-again child of God. You're entitled to new parts. And I like that. I've got new parts. And I intend to keep it that way, by the way. Thank you very much. Now, these new parts, it's what's going to change your life. The word new means never existing before. In other words, these new parts are things you didn't know about before. You can't bring what you thought you knew into this and call it new parts. They're not new parts. They might be repainted. They might be renamed, but they're still the old parts. That's why gossip becomes sharing. Oh, and I wasn't rebelling against my husband. I was just asking questions. Like, what the hell do you mean by that, you creep? Oh, I see. Well, we've just changed the terminology. But the end result is the same. So see, the new parts is that's never existed before. Never appearing, never thought of, never developed, never made, and never produced before. Basically, new means that appears, appearing, thought of, developed, made, produced for the very first time. Those are the new parts. Now, this is a new language. This is a tongue that we speak. This is a language naturally unacquired. That's what the Word of God is. It's a language. It's a tongue. Now, I know a lot of people will tell you it's an unknown tongue. Well, how can it be an unknown tongue if God knows it? See, for something to be unknown, that means nobody knows it.
So there's no such thing as an unknown language, because in order for it to be a language, it has to convey a thought, and somebody has to understand it. The minute somebody understands it, it's no longer unknown. So it's a term that it mutually excludes itself. You don't even have to be a theologian to understand the silliness of that. You just have to speak English. So you see that is appearing thought of develop made produced for the first time. That's new. And I know you never thought of forgiving before. And you certainly never thought that could possibly be your fault. This would be the first time. New means different and strange. That's different, that's strange. Foreign, unfamiliar. Remember the other one, the old, was familiar. Yeah. Familiar spirits. New means unfamiliar. What is unfamiliar? That didn't come from your family. New. An action or a belief or something you embrace that you didn't get from your biological family. Well, what family are we talking about? The family of God. From the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will. Something you never thought, you never saw, it never appeared to you before. It never even occurred to you, much less appeared to you. You certainly didn't think of it. You didn't develop, you didn't make it, and you didn't produce it. And therein lies your problem. Because you see, you don't want to be as a little child. Now, understand, as a child, I'd get up in the morning and things would appear. I told a brother on the phone today, I'd get up in the morning and I knew that if I went to the closet, there'd be some clothes that fit me there. I trusted my parents. I trusted my mother and my grandfather. I never had a fear that I'd get up in the morning and I'd walk to my closet and there'd be a pink dress with lace on it. I never had that fear. I knew what was going to be there was for me. I knew they knew that I was there. They knew what I was. They knew what fit me. And lo and behold, I opened the closet door and there were clothes, especially for me, that I never worked for. I didn't even know what sizes were. Waist size, what's waist size? I don't know. I'm little. I'm just a kid. I want to go play. If you leave me, I'll go play naked. I didn't know, and I didn't care. No, they made me dress. They made me put these things on. But they provided. They just came. It seemed like out of nowhere. And then lo and behold, I look on the floor, and there was these things for my feet. Now, to begin with, I didn't know what they were. I'd like going barefoot. I said, put your shoes on. Shoes? What shoes? Those things. Those are shoes. Put them on. Okay. So see, I never thought of those things. You can go into the jungles of any undeveloped country that you want now. See how many people wear shoes. They all go barefooted and bear everything else, don't they? See, given left to yourself, you'll never think of it. Understand what I'm telling you. Fully developed human beings, adult human beings in certain tribes of South America and Africa haven't thought of shoes yet. Now, what does that tell you? That they're stupid? No. It means we're not capable of original thought. That's all it means. And left to yourself, you will stay naked, blind, dumb, and stupid, and barefooted for the rest of your life. But see, I looked with confidence. And you know why those people are like that? I'm going to tell you why. Because they worship trees, rocks, clouds, lightning, fire, animals. And what do those things give them? Nothing. So see, they get no original thought. They're not capable of it. They don't tap into God. They worship trees and rocks and animals. So as a result, they stay the same. Why? Because they're not capable of original thought. None of us are. But getting back to my story, everything that I needed was provided for me, and I didn't even know that I needed it. I certainly gave no thought to how those things appeared. It always amazed me that I'd get up in the morning, and I'd go play, and then before too long, this person would come to the door and call me, and I'd walk in, and there was this table with dishes and food on it. And it just was there every morning that I can remember. It was there every afternoon and every evening. I never realized that it cost money. I never knew my grandfather and my mother were leaving to go get the money that we needed to buy those things. I just know they left, and when they came back, good things happened. And in the meantime, I played. Nobody ever told me about work. Nobody ever told me that I had to worry whether my grandfather was going to pay the rent or not. So I didn't worry. I didn't know what rent was. Now, I don't know what they went through, but I know one thing. I never suffered for it. They never sat down with me and said, "Oh, boy, you don't know the trouble I've seen." They just let me play, and I was just in heaven. Unlike a lot of you, who way before you should have, your parents turned to you to get your sympathy and start telling you how hard it was to support you, how much your dad didn't do or wouldn't do or couldn't do, how hard they were trying, and just saddling you with things that you couldn't comprehend, couldn't deal with, couldn't do anything about, weren't responsible, and had no ability to deal with. Just saturated you with it, beat you down with it, took you right out of heaven, didn't they? So now, having that mentality, you want to know what's wrong with everybody. There must be something wrong with her, because Mom said there's something wrong with everybody except me. So now, rather than living a heavenly existence where you know that circumstances are going to favor you, where it doesn't matter what happens and how it happens, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. I got to have faith in that. I lose my childhood. I lose my childlike faith the minute I start worrying about where is the money going to come from to pay that bill. How am I going to get it? I'll tell you how I'm going to get it. I'll tell you how I get my money. Right now, I stick my hand in my pocket, and there it is. And I never found nobody that would ask me for more than I had in my pocket. Isn't that great? And yet I have everything I want. That's childlike faith. That's understanding. Reuben knows that Reuben doesn't know. Reuben knows that Reuben can't. Reuben doesn't care that he can't. Reuben remembers when he was a child and everybody else had to provide. And that was good. That was heaven. And now I have a heavenly Father that said, "I'll provide for you like you don't know." Shaken down, pressed together, running over. You won't even be able to hold it all. Just don't get physical on me. See, you think God is Olivia. And I'm telling you, if you just trust the Lord and just understand, we have to deal with things that you've never heard before. And you think anything you haven't heard before that you didn't think of is no good. And I'll tell you, the exact opposite is the truth. New means not yet accustomed to. I understand that. See, you want me to bring new things to you that you're already accustomed to. Now, if you're already accustomed to it, how in the hell can it be new? The answer is, obviously, it cannot. So see, you present to the Lord and His representative an insoluble dilemma. Bring me something new. My life is screwed up, Rube. I need something new. I need the... But don't bring me anything that I'm not accustomed to. Well, then everything you're accustomed to is old. The only thing that can be new is the thing you've never been exposed to. And if you've not been exposed to it, you couldn't possibly be accustomed to it. So see, you revert to yourself as the judge and say, "I don't like that. I'm not accustomed to that. That doesn't make me feel good." So by virtue of that, you dismiss it as being incorrect. And in the process, you throw away the new parts. Because you want something new, but that you're accustomed to. That's an impossibility. New means that takes the place of the previous one. therein lies the whole thing in a nutshell. You want to keep the previous one, but you want the new one. Now, understand this. You cannot have two of the same thing. It do not work. The new one has to take the place of the old one. If you don't do that, then the old one will take the place of the new one. But you see, new means that that takes place of the previous one. So you want to change. You want your circumstances to change, but you want to stay the same one. And then finally, new means beginning again, making another start. You see, that's all the Lord is asking you to do. Let's start again. And you say, oh yes, let's start again. Let's start, and let's start it this way. I want to do this. No, new parts. Something you've never thought of. See, beginning again and making another start means you don't get to choose when, how, or where. And therein lies, see, you want to start new with the old parts, with the old cycle. So as a result, it ends. Now understand this. Cycle means something that ends like it began. So if you begin with the old parts, guess what you're going to end up with? The old parts. So in order to break this cycle, we must begin with new parts, and cycle then means something that ends as it began, which means something has to begin with something you never thought of, you didn't develop, you didn't make, and you didn't produce. Therefore, the end result will be something you never thought of, you never developed, you never made, and you never produced. In other words, if I could keep your cotton-picking hands out of it, you'd have it made. But you want to control the situation because you want to control the outcome. And when you do that, your chronology, boy, I thought I was going to get the eagle, but I'm not. Evidently, the Lord wants me to spend a whole hour on eagle or the whole message because I'm just not going to get to it. It's late now, and we've given you a lot. There's a lot that we've given you to think about. If nothing else you've learned from this, what you've mistaken on my part as being tough and gruff and unyielding, and sometimes even what appears in your demented mind to be mean, was the purest form of love you've ever seen. And it's a form of love that I, as an individual, am not only not capable of, I don't even desire to love you this way. So somebody must love you bigger than you and I. And the only thing that's happening here is He has chosen to love you through me. That's the only claim I make to it. I don't like you. I was a lot happier without you. Things were not as complicated. But you see, I'm happier now than I've ever been in my life. Because before that, there was someone was using me to show all of you. By you, I don't mean you specifically, but everybody in my life was using me to show me their hate, their criticism, and their judgment. And I've been used that way long, too long. And now understand this, somebody's going to use you, my friend. And if Jesus doesn't use you to show His love to those that don't deserve it through you, then Satan will use you to show the hate that they do deserve through you. Now, if you are showing hate to people, and I know they deserve it, I know they did wrong, guess who is using you? And you give Jesus Christ the credit for that. And I'm telling you, you're flat wrong. And you haven't been renewed, you haven't become as a little child, and that's why you're desperately praying and hoping for happiness, power, and eternity. And you think you can get it on your own. You haven't yet, and you will not. You must become as a little child. You have to understand the old parts is what's making you wrong. And I got a whole set of new parts for you. And if you'll accept them spiritually and emotionally, you're going to see physically new parts. When your cells reproduce, they'll be more vital, they'll be stronger, your skin will be firm and shiny, and it'll have a glow to it, and you'll sleep better. It's God renewing all of you. But you see, he's not a halfway God, because this isn't a halfway house. I mean, if you can accept God's renewal spiritually and emotionally, why would he leave your body out of it? The fact of the matter is, he would not. Things would start working again the way they were intended. There'd be a spring in your step again. You not only would be able to get up in the morning, you'd even want to. See, it would no longer be in a situation in the morning when you have to get up, you don't want to. Oh, could you sleep in the morning, right? Now, at night, when it's time to go to bed, forget it. In the morning, oh, the birds, well, I can't sleep, the birds woke me up. You lie. You go to sleep at night, you got the TV set on, you got the stereo on, people fighting upstairs, cars going back and forth. Are you kidding? So the problem is, your chronology is wrong. You're sleepy when you ought to get up, and you're awake when you ought to go to sleep. You're hungry when you should be working, and you're never working because you're always hungry. Something's wrong with you. You're not as a little child. You've taken a hold of your life with the training that Daddy and Mama Shemua gave you. Shemua and Shemua. And you've taken that training and you've elevated to another level of stupidity. You've refined the insanity they gave you to another level. Then you pass it on to your children and they do the same. And all we need is the simplicity of what I've just told you. We go back to where it all started and you'll see how ugly it is. And more importantly, you'll stop blaming everybody around you. That's the important thing. Wednesday, we'll find out about once your youth is renewed, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to do the 100-yard dash in 10 seconds. It means you're going to be like an eagle. And when I tell you what an eagle is like, what it means, then you will see basically the correlation between that and Solomon. It's going to mean the ability to get wisdom and knowledge. And from that comes happiness and wealth and all the things that Solomon had. But he said, I need to know you. I need wisdom. But see, you don't want wisdom to get wealth. You want wealth so you can appear to be wise. The chronology begs description. It's backwards, like everything that you do. And I'm just trying to help you. Listen, if I've done nothing else tonight, I left the air conditioner on so it's been nice and cool.